following presentation, YHMAN Shared Virtual Data Center, was given by Ed Carter of YHMAN and Network Shop 42 in April 2014.
As for, it's run as a limited company. It's been there since establishment in 1998, and we've delivered over that time the Janet connectivity from entry into the region at Leeds to some 70 users in HE and FE. It's jointly owned by the 8 universities, as I say. So what we're looking at now is to extend the services into computing and storage. So the idea is to maximize the utilization of what infrastructure we've got already. So it's called a virtual data center, one because we're using virtual technology, but the other one is that we haven't had to build or refurbish any data centers. We're just leasing rack space in existing university data centers. So to start off with, the service today is based on a rack in Leeds University and Leeds Met University, which are key because they're the two Janet entry points. So in offering a service out to the internet, that's pretty crucial. The third data center is down at Sheffield, which was an interesting aspect in that it's 50 miles away. We've got this advantage that most of the network is dark fibre, and we've been able to overlay the Janet service with this lighting separate lasers and to run the link down to Sheffield. Not only is it's not just a point-to-point link down there, but it runs over a protected ring. So we've taken the technology that you might normally find in a data centre or in the university across the campus into two data centres if you're resilient, or maybe across towns. We've taken it and stretched it across the region. And the technology we're using is VMware, which we've been using now for 2 years. At the outset, they said, well, that's all right, but we've never had a configuration like that before, such a stretched active network, and we wouldn't support it. We got a lot of consultancy at the time to get it working. 2 months later, they did say, well, we do support it. So it was quite, I think, a first in the world at that time. So here's our servers. I've used red for the servers at the University of Leeds, orange for Sheffield, green for Leeds Met. And basically, the coloured blocks there show the VMware clustered pool, so it's one resource pool, everything's always active. The idea of having three sites was that if we lose one site, let's say we have a power cut here at Leeds University, then the service could still run resiliently from the two other sites, Leeds Met and Sheffield, should be without any intervention at all. We believe that if we lost two sites, we could still even keep the service up, although that would may involve, most likely involve, some manual intervention. So across those three sites then, we set up tenancies for the universities. So you've got University A there, which will have a share of the VM, a number of VMs. So we've got the University of Huddersfield at the moment taking 22 VMs. So we set up a tenancy for them. Their service can be running at any point in time from any one of the three servers. You know, vMotion is supported. If YHMAN need to do any maintenance, they can say, run all the services off two servers and we'll maintain one. Or it will migrate naturally, depending on load balancing, if there's more processing time available down at Sheffield. In real lifetime, it'll ship down to Sheffield and run. Equally well, to support that at the top, we've got a network-wide SAN. So we've got a storage area network. It's running in three-way mirroring, which means at any point of time, if a server for University A is running at Leeds and it's writing data or reading data, it'll be coming from the Leeds storage. But any data that gets written gets synchronously written down to Sheffield and to Leeds Met. So you've got three copies of the storage at any time. We've placed a great emphasis on having that availability. As time goes by and we start to talk about serious storage, petabytes, it might be a bit of a too much of an overhead to have three copies of that. So we'll have to bring up a storage cluster, which is maybe two-way, or even one-way. You know, we've got interest in using this facility for test and development, whereas it's not, so that's not a service that you necessarily need to be there 100% of the time. So you might just have one copy on the storage system. So the system is completely flexible. So it's all about services at the end of the day. That you can think of as the cloud. Why, as a client, why do you care where it is? It's about the services that you can take from it. So at the top is our basic service, which is virtual servers. If you contract in for a tenancy, then you've got a server space there for your use. And currently, we're looking at upgrading the front-end management of that to bring in the latest VMware single pane of glass of management for the system. So the idea then is that you can have a portfolio, a catalogue of services, database servers or whatever, and pretty much on the fly you can go in from your campus, single pane of glass, and configure a server quite quickly. The significance of that is the importance of that and making it so simple is that, of course, when we started this off, a lot of people were VMware based in universities and they could cope with vCenter. Now there's a lot of Hyper-V available. So, you know, we're getting fragmentation of where people's expertise is. So we want to make this system as easy to use as possible. Okay, and the next service down is called Univault. This is a key, our first major application, which is cloud storage. Which you may think, wow, there are 1,001 cloud storage offerings around now in the world, and maybe Dropbox is the leader in that field. But I think I'm going to go on to show you the way that we've applied Dropbox and the way we're hoping to develop it in the future. So this represents like a cloud storage facility which remains in our control. When I say our control, I mean that Weichmann is a group of universities, also supporting FE. So it's like, I believe we represent the sector, for the sector. And then going on, a key one I'll just mention is the HPC section as well, because I think that's pretty key for us. As researchers, the research institutions will have investments in HPC. Some universities wanting to get into HPC maybe don't can't afford the HPC type facility. So my concept here is that you can use our shared virtual data center, storage, everyday access to files and data. Yeah. But if you want, your researchers want to do some data intensive work, then we can share an amount of that SAN storage between our system for everyday purposes and the batch processing of the HPC. So the data can be quickly made available and the batch job run on HPC. So this is one use case which I've drawn out where we've got the university, which is actually the University of Huddersfield, here in this box here. They've got a tenancy in the SVDC cloud, and there's also Janet representation at the bottom there. Okay, so the first thing they wanted to do was to just provide some business continuity, really, disaster, and thinking of disaster recovery. So they've got things like their web servers running on campus, their corporate web servers, and what they've done is to make a replica of that in the SVDC data center. You could say for a rainy day, if anything happens on the campus, their corporate web server is still available. But it's more than that, in that there's a secure link between the campus and the data center, so that they're actually load sharing that facility on a day-to-day basis. So if you access their web server, you don't know whether it'll go. The request will go to their campus. It'll either, the response will come from their web server on campus, or it may come from the SVDC. So in that way, we're sort of integrated approach. They've got the confidence that the service is running. Now, if their campus was to go down in any way, of course, you want the service could stay running up here, and it could be running from Leeds Met, or Sheffield at any time. But because your DNS has got to route to it. So what they've got is their DNS registered with Janet as well. So they've got three copies of their DNS, one on campus, one in Janet, one in the SVDC. So if the campus was to go down, they could come in and just, I think it would be a manual changeover in the Janet to route all their traffic to the SVDC. So the fact that the campus has gone down, that web server would stay up. Okay. Now the idea is that this is that you take it further, you start to put more of your campus servers for disaster recovery out in the SVDC cloud. Yeah? And so to do that, those servers will require authenticated access to them. So you need a copy of your Active Directory out in the cloud. So this is early stages, and this is the sort of facility that we can look to develop, very much integrated with the institution. So it's a bit like Nathan there, where he's talking about two universities coming together and sharing in a common computing service. Here, we've got a central resource like YHMAT, and then looking to integrate with separate computer services in different organizations. So now, going on to our second use case, which is the UniVault cloud storage facility. I don't know if the diagram is particularly useful, but it's pretty. So here we've got our UniVault running on the SVDC. And the way we sell it is to institutions. So it's not like Dropbox, where you're an individual user, you can just get some free use and then start paying later. This is based on institutions taking out licenses to use UniVault and for a block of storage behind it. And that way, it's always authenticated against the institution authentication system, generally Active Directory. Okay? So you've got University X here. They can then take out a number of licenses, maybe 50 licenses for a particular research team, or take out many licenses to offer it for the students. Okay, but when the student or the researcher was in that case to log in, coming through the internet, then they would have an account on University X, and it would take their username, ask them for their password, and it would authenticate it back to the campus, which does mean then if staff leave the institution, students leave, Active Directory accounts can be suspended, and you've retained control of the storage in the cloud. Now, as time goes by, we're getting many, many tenancies for UniVault. It's not just the universities, but we've had interest from the hospitals. University of Leeds has got a number of recent awards to link with hospitals. So we're looking to set up, a multi-sector users for UniVault, which is fine. All of this is about collaboration. It's about reading your information from various devices, bring your own device. It's about syncing that information so you can configure the system so that if you've got a folder on your laptop or desktop, you can arrange for it to be synced automatically with the cloud. You then get on the train and you can read it from your tablet. And that works fine at this level. But what, of course, with research groups, we want people from University X to be sharing a research activity in collaboration with a group in the hospitals, or there may be four or five universities involved and a couple of hospitals if it's medical application. So I'm looking now to extend this system that we can bring in data set providers, this particularly in healthcare, GP data, hospital data, which is could be anonymized before entry, but of course we want to make a mechanism where we can get that data into the Univault system for sharing. But of course we want, if it's sensitive, with research work you might want to keep tight control over it. If it's medical data, you definitely got to keep tight control over it. So we would allow, that we would create a tenancy for each of those service providers to load their data into the system. And it would come into a demilitarized zone there, okay, in a controlled manner. Oops, going backwards. And the idea here is that we extend Univault with a second presence of it, where under a trusted administration, you can then take the data from the demilitarized zone and take it into the system. So the service provider of the data set would have no mechanism of getting into the system. They're just providing data. There's a handover place, which is the demilitarized zone. So the trusted entity can load that system into second instance of Univault, which we can, let's say, Federation Research Team 1, which is under the control of the principal investigator, the researcher involved. So only people that that person nominates can access Research Team 1. So we pop the data in there, and then we can have any number of users from either University X, in this diagram shows University X and Hospital A. So it's not, you can make the service available to lots of people in University X, but you can just say, like, this dozen people are involved in this research project, so only they can get into the Federated Team 1. But there might be some hospital clinicians there as well, four or five, that you can also allow in. So I think that's pretty neat. It demonstrates what you can do if you remain in control. Now, a university could do this for itself, or we can join together and do it once. Now, there are other aspects I'm looking at here with the Univault. You can be as safe as you like with your data. You can encrypt it. All of this data is encrypted on the fly. We can encrypt it at rest. But if you can read the data, people can copy it, can't they? We can do what we would like to try and restrict that, but potentially that is always possible. So the concept here is that where we've got super sensitive information, that the arrow on the right just shows you that you can, and we are doing this at Leeds, to create a sanctuary. So because registered users that can access data, but they can only access it from particular machines in a particular environment. We've got to create a room, they'll be logged in, it'll be audited what they do when they're in there. So that's just showing, like, Univault generally is available over the internet. In this case, we can restrict it that it's not available over the internet, it's only available from a particular location. And of course we could have those locations here at the Leeds, we could have them in the hospital. But it's controlled. That's a little poster we did for the recent USISA conference on this. And where do we go from here? We're talking about the three node cluster at the moment at Leeds, Leeds Met and Sheffield, very useful. But the project we've now got with the hospitals means that we could potentially put and extend the cluster out to the hospital site. Or we could go colo as well. There's another social sciences research project at the moment where they're looking at a colo site, and I don't see any problem in using that colo site, but then incorporating that into our cluster. And basically, the way we do support the services It's like we are the back-end service provider. So our concept in support is to integrate with the individual universities. Yeah, so to the students, to the researchers, this service should be no different than if you're delivering it yourself. Yeah, so all of your normal procedures, all your normal support would go through the university, help desk and IT. It's just that when it got to IT, they say, oh no, we're not running these servers, they're in the cloud. And they would come through to the Weitzman service support desk. Okay. So we're second line or third line support, if you like. Okay, I'm running out of time now. That's about it.
Thank you very much, Ed. Do we have any questions at all for Ed?
Okay. Right. I didn't pick up on there the standards. At the bottom of the screen of services, one was support and consultancy. And part of that, at the moment, we're going through a process to get ISO 27001 accreditation for this. And of course, we will be looking at the NHS toolkit as well. So that sort of endorsement for the service is on its way.
Any more questions? Well, thank you, Ed. Obviously, Ed and no doubt people can come and talk to you during the day and tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. I'd like to introduce Phil Smart from Cardiff University, and he's going to be talking about... Oh, sorry. I should just... Yes. Okay, so I'll reintroduce Phil Smart from Cardiff University. Phil's a senior software engineer, and he'll be talking about a Microsoft 365 rollout.
Yeah, I have to first start with a bit of an apology, really. Lynn can't make it today. He would be quite helpful on some of the early parts of this slide, so I was more involved in the technical implementation, and Lynn would have been able to help on lots of the background, but hopefully I can fill in where possible.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of NetWorkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.